There's nothing that he's promised that he's not willing to perform, nothing that that he cannot do. And we look forward to, again, to a new year, and we look forward to the great things that God's going to do for each of us and the great testimonies that we'll have to share with each other about the things that God's doing. Well, let's take a look at some stuff. I know we had been looking at prosperity and abundance and tithing and those kind of things, and there were a couple other things that I'd like to take a look at in light of that. So we're going to look at Psalm 1 to begin with, and great promise here in verse 3, but we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." The advice, the counsel of those that do not believe God. Right? That's really the ungodly. You know, they are those that do not believe in God, or, you know, sometimes they just, they're believers, but they aren't actively believing God. They just continue to walk according to the course of this world, right? But here it says, the man who walks not in their advice is blessed. And then he says, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I've always thought that was a wonderful verse because of how it kind of encompasses all of life. You know, where it says, we're walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor are we standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. It covers all categories of life, right? And that word scornful there is the haughty or the proud, right? And most people who do not believe God get pretty haughty, get pretty proud about themselves because, you know, I mean, men can accomplish great things just on their own. Many men have. Many women have. And, you know, not relying upon God. And they have every reason to be proud, but not in a godly way, certainly. But here, you know, we decide not to walk by the advice of the ungodly or, you know, those that sin, those that do things that are contrary to God's word. You know, we don't stand with them, nor do we sit in the seat of the proud, right? Those who mock God. You know, we don't look at life that way. You know, we consider the reality of God. We consider the reality of His promises, His power and His ability and His willingness to bring those promises to pass. And this is why we can expect to be blessed, because we are those that walk, stand, and sit in the presence of God. And then it says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, right? This man who's blessed, who chooses not to do it the world's way, but to make the law of God his real delight. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. In his law doth he meditate. And meditate just means to, you know, to focus on, to think, to consider deeply these things of God. This is how we live our lives. This is how we conduct ourselves. You know, we conduct ourselves every moment of the day recognizing that God has made us His kids. For the psalmist, he was a servant, right? In the Old Testament, they were servants of Jehovah. They were His chosen people, Israel. But they were chosen to serve God and to make the God of all creation, Jehovah Elohim, to make Him known. Our entire life can be blessed as we consider the things of God all the time in whatever we're doing. Here's a great promise in verse 3, and this is what we're getting at. He shall be, this man who delights in Jehovah and His laws, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. You know, that's a tremendous promise. You know, that's the detail of what it means to be a blessed man or a blessed woman who makes the law of God his delight and walks, sits, stands in the presence of God always. We're always conscious of God, right? We're always in the presence of God. He never casts his eyes away from us. He's always concerned with us. He's always looking at us. He's always concerning himself with our lives. And if we do the same, we see these great blessings. This is a great picture of blessing in verse 3, right? A tree planted by the rivers of waters brings forth its fruit in this season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Right? That's a big promise. Whatsoever you do will prosper. And verse 4 says the ungodly are not so. Huh? Unfortunately, their lives aren't blessed this way. See? The blessing of God is we have everything we need. We're like a tree by the river of water. Right? Our fruit is always there in season. Whenever it's time for fruit, we have the fruit. We don't see drought. Right? Our leaf won't wither. Right? And then it stops that figure and just basically says it truly. Says it without a figure of speech. Whatever you do will prosper. Whatever. That's a tremendous promise, right? Let's look at Proverbs. And in light of this blessing, in light of all this prosperity that God promises to us, Proverbs 3 gives us some great advice on what to do after we've been blessed, right? He says in verse 9, to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Substance is like your wealth. All of the things that you have, you are to honor the Lord with it and with the first fruits of thine increase. First fruits is that it's the very best. Right? It's the very best of what you have. Right? As you prosper, as those things that you endeavor to do prosper and God prospers you, God blesses you because you're trusting Him, because you're not following the advice of the ungodly, the unbelievers. You're not doing things the way they do. You're not conducting yourselves as if there is no God. You conduct yourself as who you really are. A son of God, a daughter of God. One who is constantly aware of God's love for you and God's desire to bless you. And when you see it come to pass, then you honor God, you give it back. And again, I think we looked at this before, you know, the heart of any time we give to honor God, it's always in response to what God has already done for us. It's always that way. You know, we look at the blessings and we see, okay, God did this for me. God was the one behind this. God was the reason my efforts and my endeavors have prospered. So I will return to Him. I will honor Him. I will esteem Him as who He truly is, the source of my every supply, right? And as we do that in response to that substance, that wealth, that increase that God brings to us, verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Wow, that's just more blessing comes. Like Psalm 1 said, that if we conduct our lives in the presence of God, if we sit with Him, if we stand with Him, if we walk with Him, if we delight ourselves in His laws, in His instruction for right living, then He blesses us. Then whatsoever we do prospers. And as we see that prosperity, because we have with our whole heart come to God and said, you know, God, I just want to live with you. I just want to live your way. I just want to delight in the things that you have said and done. Then the blessings come. Right? We saw in Malachi how he opens the windows of heaven. And this is just a continuous cycle of prosperity and blessing. We turn our hearts to God, He blesses us. Then we respond by honoring Him with the first fruit of our increase, with the very best. And then our presses burst forth. Our barns are filled. And the blessings just continue. That's the promise of God to us. That's what God expects us to believe of Him, that He will do. You know, it's very simple too. I mean, why does God do this? He doesn't do it because we're so perfect. He does it because that's what He desires to do. He desires to bless people, especially us, His children, in Christ. How much more would He do that for us if He would promise these great things for Israel, who had not yet been redeemed? It's wonderful to realize that we can expect these things of God. We can expect not to have to work so hard. We can expect for God to bless our lives. We really can. And it's all a mindset. If we're meditating on these things, then all the stresses of the world fade away. Right? We're to meditate on these things. We're to constantly remember that God's made exceeding great and precious promises to each of us. And we can expect these things to come to pass in our lives. And as they do, then we honor God. We respond to His blessings. In light of this, there's a great record in Deuteronomy, which I wanted to look at. Deuteronomy 26. 26, this is a great chapter. And it has to do with the things we're talking about, how that God is going to bless His people, and has to do with them giving back to God and honoring God. This was the time when they were getting ready to go into the promised land, and Moses was just kind of, you know, wrapping things up with them, making sure they knew all of the commandments of God, all the things that God would do for them, and all the things that God expected of them in return. This is before they go into the promised land, and here is some directive here in chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. Verse 1, as we'll start reading, it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance, and possess it, and dwelleth therein. This is what you're going to do. When you get to that land that God is going to give to you, the Lord thy God, Jehovah, thy Elohim, this land that He will give you for your inheritance, and when you're in it, when you possess it, and you're dwelling therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place His name there. In other words, the tabernacle. Right? You're going to go to the tabernacle. They don't have the temple yet. Right? They don't even have Jerusalem yet. But they're going to have a promised land, and they have the tabernacle that is the place that God instructed them to set up. It's like a temporary temple, right? Which would be a fun thing to look at sometime in detail, because there's a lot of stuff in there. But so this is the place that God chose to place His name. This is my place. And so you go there, thou shalt, verse 3 says, thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And then verse 5, and thou shalt speak and say. And this is a wonderful thing. You know, Moses is telling them, when you get to the promised land and you begin to see the fruit that God will bring to you, that the land will bear for you, then you take of the first of all of it, the very finest, the best. The first means the best. Not just the first of the crop, but the best of it. The best of all that the land will yield to you. He doesn't give an amount here. He just says, you take it and you fill a basket with it. And you bring it and you say, verse 3 says, you say it, you say it with your mouth. This day unto the Lord thy God, I am come into the country which the Lord sware to our fathers to give us. I am where I am today because God had made a promise to our fathers that we would have this. And the priest takes the basket out of your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And then you say again, you make this confession and you say it. The reason you're going to give is because of this. You say before the Lord thy God, this is what you say. A Syrian, ready to perish, was my father. This is speaking of Jacob. He was ready to perish, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. This is what God's instruction to them was to say, to confess. Confess the things that God has been doing for you. Say them. And when we cried unto the Lord our God, our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labors and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness, awesomeness, and with signs and with wonders. Right? They're rehearsing. They're saying the things that God had done for them. They're remembering the things of their situation and how God brought them out. This was the reason that they would honor God with this first of all the crop, all that the land, the fruit of the earth, the land would bring. And verse 9, and he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Boy, he took us from that bondage and brought us into this land that is so plentiful, so prosperous we are now. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. You're the one who's given this to us. And after they would say that, thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, the rest of verse 10 says, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thy house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. You all will be blessed. You all will be benefited from the things that God has done. And when you receive it, when He does it for you, then this is what you're to do. So this was the way to respond. And He even gave them the words to say. Right now, did they recite that every time they came with gifts and the first fruits of their increase? I don't know. But I know that this time they're instructed to do it. And then you see the heart. You know, they are to confess. They're to say it out loud. God has brought me here. God has brought us this blessing. God's the one who's done this for us. This is the blessing that God has blessed us with. So that's why I'm giving it here to the temple of God. I'm giving it to you, the priest. God's servant. I'm giving it to you because God did it for me. God gave it to me, so I'm giving it to you. And now I'm just going to rejoice. because isn't God great for blessing us? You rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, verse 11, again, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you, when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing. Now you're going to do this every time you have a blessing, every time you, and they were an agricultural community, so every time they had a crop, they would bring the first fruits, the best of it. And these tithes, these tenths of all, in the third year, this was going to be special. This is the year of tithing, the third year, every 3 years. And has given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Everybody partakes. That third year, everybody is blessed. Not just the Levites, but the stranger, the fatherless, the widows. Everybody partakes of that blessing. And then, verse 13 says, thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, unto the fatherless, to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten. Forgotten not only the commandments, but forgotten God. Verse 14, I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God. And those are things, verse 14, eating in mourning, in grief, or taking anything for unclean use, doing any of the ungodly stuff that they weren't supposed to be doing, you know, based on all the unbelievers that they may have encountered. But he's hearkened. I have hearkened unto the voice of the Lord my God, Jehovah Elohim, and I've done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Now, verse 15, look down. This is their prayer. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all your heart and all your soul. See? He just didn't want them to go through the motions. He wanted them to recognize the blessings that he had blessed them with, and he wanted them to be thankful to him for it. Which is why he says to them, this is how to show me you're thankful. This is how to show me that you recognize that I am the source of your supply. This is how you show me. And you can do it with your whole heart and with your whole soul. You know, you do it because you really see where the source of it comes from. And verse 17, look at this. This is great. Thou hast avouched, this old English, you have declared or proclaimed outwardly the Lord this day to be thy God. Jehovah, you have declared it this day. You have said, and you have said it not just with your voices, but with your actions from your heart, that Jehovah is your God. He is your Elohim. He's your God. No, none of these, you know, your God is not Ra from Egypt, or, you know, any of the other unbelievers' gods who aren't really gods. But Jehovah is your God. And you have declared that this day by your actions, by your willingness to do the things that he has said for you to do, and to walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. Now, you've said that. You have followed through with your action. And he's kind of taking them into the promised land in their heart and mind. See? He's giving them the vision, saying, look, when you get there and you do these things, you're saying that. You're not only saying it today, but you'll be saying it that day. When you bring that basket full of blessing to the Levite, to the priest. And you say those things. Yeah, Jacob, he was perishing. And he went down to Egypt and he found food. And he became a mighty nation, a mighty people. And now here we are in this land of promise that flows with milk and honey. God brought us here. That's what those actions would declare, would say very loudly, that they desired to walk in the ways of God, to keep His statutes, to keep His commandments. They did not want to sit with the scornful. They did not want to stand or walk any other place other than in the presence of God. And then look at what verse 18 says. And the Lord, Jehovah, has avouched, or He has declared thee this day to be His people, His peculiar people, His special, marked out people, as He hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all His commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which He hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as He hath spoken. You know, not only are you to declare that Jehovah is your God by doing these things, but He has also declared you to be His people. He has declared that He will lift you up above all nations, that He will bless you, not only in name, but in honor, that you may be a holy people. You know, this is the promise that He made to Israel. And this is what God declared of them. Just as they were to declare Jehovah as their God, Jehovah would declare Israel as His people. There was great benefit for them if they would do and live this way. Do these things and live this way. You know, that's tremendous heart there. You know, and we find ourselves in the same place too. You know, we can look at our lives and say what it declares in Ephesians, right? You know, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Let's look at it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead in trespasses and sins. We all were. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the counsel of the ungodly. We all did. We stood in the way of sinners. We sat in the seat of the scornful. And yet God did something for us. You know, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That same spirit that's at work within the children of disobedience, just as it was at work within us before we were born again. Among whom also we all had our conversation. We all behaved this way in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even as others now who aren't born again. This is the same. This is where we all came from. But God, verse 4 says, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. This is by grace. This is not by anything that we did to earn. It's simply by God favoring us because we believed who Jesus Christ is. And we have confessed Him with our mouth as Lord. We have believed in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And so He raised us up together with Him. Raised us up together, verse 6 says, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The ages to come, the things that God will show us are things that are so far beyond the things that He showed Israel. in that land that flowed with milk and honey. So far greater, because we are no longer servants, but we are sons of God. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This is not our work, no more so than Israel could boast. You know, where were they going to get that blessing from? When they brought that bounty to the Levites at the place that God had chosen to put His name, right at the door of the tabernacle, and then ultimately at the door of the temple in Jerusalem. When they brought that bounty, when they brought that blessing, when they brought the tithe of the finest of all, the best of the best of their increase and their substance, they brought it saying, God gave me this. I didn't work for this. God gave me this. When we come before God as sons of God, seated in the heavenlies, raised with Christ, ascended with Him, seated with Him, we come with our whole heart and our soul, and we want to give back the blessing that God has given to us, and we say it with the same mindset. God has given me this. God has brought me to this place in my life. God has blessed me with this job. God has caused me to prosper, and I thank Him for it. I don't boast about anything. There's no room for boasting for any of us. But there is room for great praise and glory to God, and thanksgiving to God. This is our mindset. This is how we are to meditate day and night. This is how we think of ourselves now. This is how we think of our lives now. God has blessed us with such great things. And verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." These works that God has foreordained for us, for each of us to walk in, because He has made us His workmanship, His masterpiece. We didn't earn that. We didn't do it for ourselves. No more so than Israel conquered a new land for themselves. They didn't just decide to cross Jordan and take all the land they could take. God brought them there. God did it. God made them a nation. God made them a name. God exalted them. As they turned their hearts to Him and as they walked in His ways, they saw great things. They saw God do miracle after miracle. Awesome, terrible things. One right after the next. I say terrible in the Old English usage of it, like we read in the Old Testament there. Right? Terrible things. Just incredible, awesome things. And God does the same thing for us, because He has foreordained these things for us to walk in. See, for Israel, He looked out on the promised land and He said, I'm going to get them some real incredible blessings. And He saw it all before He brought them in. And it's the same for us. He saw our lives and He prepared things for us each to do as His sons and daughters before. And now, as we decide to walk in His ways, to walk as sons and daughters of God, and respond and give it back to God, recognize where it's coming from. All the blessings that we have in our lives, we recognize God brought it to us. I was dead. My fathers weren't all just perishing. They were dead. Right? And so was I. But He made us alive. He made us alive. So now we have great promise. Right? Now we have exceeding great and precious promises that we have in Christ. He's made us a name. He's given us a name. We're sons. So we can be thankful, I guess, huh? And now it's just up to us. You know, do we want to respond in the ways that we know, you know, God desires for us to respond? You know, nothing's changed. It's just it's no longer law for us to do this. We're His children. We're going to stay His children. You know, but God expects for us to respond in the same ways. He just doesn't have to tell us anymore. But I love that record in Deuteronomy 26 because it expresses such great heart. And when you read it, you see and you realize that God just wanted them to do it from their heart. He said, okay, you're thankful? Well, here's a great way to show me. And you know, when we read Ephesians and we see what God has done for us, boy, we can't help but be thankful. I know we're all very thankful for the things God has done for us. And now we can respond the same way. And when we do, God continues to cause great blessing. So as He causes that increase for us, as we turn our hearts to Him, we continue that cycle by honoring Him, by responding this way.